As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to a very festive Rusty Satellite Show. This is our 52nd show. That means a year ago I started doing this this take on the most interesting people in the Ville, and come to a grand total. And my guest today, Carolyn Gaeta McLean, is number 100. So we celebrated that with a little wine in the studio, and just had a good time. So this whole show is kind of going to be a little bit fun. And I also have with me in the studio today Angie Fenton, who was one of my first guests on the Rusty Satellite Show and is a great ambassador and now the proud owner of a Rusty Satellite T-shirt. So don't you know. But anyway, I've got a bunch of stuff to get to. I went this week to see the great Elvis Costello in concert, and that was a ball. And there's a couple interesting stories in the news I want to get to, but first let's get to Carolyn McLean. She is, as many of you know, is the wife of WHAS Radio 84 sportscaster Lachlan McLean. And if you listen to that Lachlan on the air, sometimes you hear stories about Lachlan and Carolyn and their personal life and their kids and all that. But Carolyn is quite a sort of a PR diva herself. She is. She came to my attention at this time because she is premiering a new show this week. It's called Deadbeats, and it's a look inside the Kentuckiana child support system. And it's created a little bit of controversy because of its sort of it is a reality TV show. I would say that I haven't seen it, but I suppose that some people object to that kind of content on TV. I think it's going to be a very entertaining show, especially if you like seeing people doing stupid stuff. And but there is, in addition to that, there's a good message to the show. So we talk about that, among other things, in my interview with Carolyn McLean. So here it is.
Hi, this is John Worth of the Louisville Beer Podcast. Each Tuesday, John King, Scott Likens, and I bring you up to speed on the craft beer scene here in Louisville. We interview minor local celebrities, give you the scoop on upcoming events, and enjoy some finely crafted beers while we're at it. Find us online at LouisvilleBeer.com and catch the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Louisville.am.
I am in the studios with a glass of wine, a couple of Rusty Satellite T-shirts, and one of my favorite people, Carolyn Gaeta McLean. Carolyn, welcome, and congratulations on being the 100th guest of the show.
I am extremely flattered to be the 100th guest. Thank you.
And so, well, you're number one because you're the first guest that brought wine to the studio, so I really appreciate that.
I'm the first guest? Well, that's because you made me wait outside in the hot freaking sun, and there was a sipping vine across the street. How could I resist?
It is a great location for that down here in the Highlands. And I just want to get into some of the interesting facets of your life, Carolyn. And, you know, number one, let's just talk. A lot of people don't know you as Carolyn, but as Locke's wife, right?
Right, sort of, yes. I have two personalities, Locke's wife and then my own personality, right?
And for our listeners who don't know, tell us about your husband.
So Lachlan is Lachlan McLean of 84 WHASAM. He comes on after Terry Myers and does a sports show from 7 to 9. And often when I will just drop by to see Lach for whatever reason, Terry will have me on the show to embarrass Lach for his sports cast. But yes, we've been married 13 years, almost 14, and we have two little girls, Madison and Lucy. And they are 8 and 11, and we're living the life, but we're certainly, like every other American family, juggling a lot.
Right. And, you know, one of the things about the things you do, a lot of them are similar to what all other families do, except you and Lach both have these media careers, and you share a lot of your personal stories with the world. Give me the positives and negatives of that.
But you know what? I'll just start with the negative. Most people in PR would never do that because we say don't repeat the negative. But living with Lachlan, I never know what stories he's going to tell on the air. So oftentimes I'll find out from other people what he's talking about behind closed doors. So if there's a negative, and I use air quotes, then that would be, oh my God, I heard Lucy had her tonsils out and she puked all night and you got no sleep. And I'm like, how do you know that? And they're like, he told the story on the air. But the great thing is I get to tell embarrassing stories because Terry Myers allows me that opportunity. So,
yeah, well, and
Lach's a quirky dude. I mean, like, people see him on the air, hear him on the air, and they think he's, you know, he's very different at home. He's really quiet at home. He's very mellow.
Our alter egos. All us media people have alter egos, right?
Yes, and he's not as opinionated at home. He sits back. He's, you know, he's really not that social because he's so social on the air, and you know how this is. He has to be on for several hours that when he comes home, he wants to decompress.
So we do know who wears the pants in that. Right?
Well, people say that all the time. I don't know if he likes to hear that, but okay.
Just let him make a decision every once in a while just to make him feel good. You know, you did that. But let's talk a little bit about your media career. You started out at, you went to Ball State. I just learned with our king here, Dan Vonderhyde.
And Dan was he was a shining star at Ball State.
Oh yeah, so it's been all downhill.
No, I did not say that. He was awesome. He was always making the good grades and doing wonderful things and projects at Ball State with David Letterman, you know, gave us oodles of money because he's an alum.
Right.
So, yes, Dan and I go way back.
Okay, so you were a reporter here, and I know you can just pick out the highlights of your career that you can share with us. I know you worked at
Cliff
Kentucky
Notes,
Kingdom.
Cliff Notes
you
version.
You know, that was a big deal being at Kentucky Kingdom during the heyday, I guess, right?
I loved my time at Wave 3 Television. I was there for several years, and I loved being a news reporter, and I never thought I would give it up. But having children makes you reevaluate your time management. So I decided to go to Six Flags and flip to the dark side, as they said back in the day, and do PR. And yes, I was there 7 years ago when that horrific accident occurred on Superman Tower of Power and Caitlin Lassiter's feet were severed. So that was a life-changing moment for me, both personally and professionally. And I think that it definitely changed the landscape of my career, because what I ended up doing is eventually leaving Six Flags and sharing my story with what I learned from a PR professional about covering a crisis. So a lot of times I'm a guest speaker, or I train people, since I have that on-camera background, how to respond in a crisis. So that's one of the facets of my career.
Wow. And like, I know you've got, like, you've done some work at Churchill Downs, and you've got every other company in the city that's hired you, right?
I love Churchill Downs. I was introduced to them through Hullabaloo, and I loved that, and I was sorry to see that go. And then I also do the red carpet currently for them, and I love it. I'm a huge fan of Churchill Downs.
What was your favorite Hullabaloo act?
Honestly, I love Dave Matthews because he was out of his freaking mind. I mean, like, if anybody saw Dave Matthews, first of all, he played longer than his set.
Yeah,
he was stoned out of his mind. I mean, like, but he was bizarro, but in a good way. And he was just a little weird. I mean, I just liked him. He was very cool.
Well, it was. I remember the event. How many years ago was it? It's like 5 years now.
Yeah, right, I don't know. I'm terrible at math.
It's a while back. I remember Huey Lewis was my favorite actor.
I loved him.
He was just like, it was funny. My funny story about Huey Lewis is from my point of view, Huey still looked like the Huey of 25 years ago, but all the guys in his band had aged. Huey was still skinny jeans,
but sounded great.
Yeah, he sounded just,
I mean,
great.
He was still spot on.
Yeah.
He drew a huge crowd.
Yeah. I was right there by the stage. That was the most fun. But also want to talk to you, Carolyn. Let's move on to like the present day. And you've got a very exciting project. I wrote a story about it in Insider Louisville last week. Tell us about your new TV show.
Well, after several years of not being on TV, I've been asked to be the host of Deadbeat, Kentuckiana Child Support Court, which launches June 23rd, and it's on WBNA Channel 21 and then Retro TV 185. And we're going to be on daily at 1:30 and nightly at 9 p.m., and it's cool. It's a very cool show. It is reality TV, and our cameras are in child support court, and we follow the cases, and then we offer legal analysis as to what's going on, and for those battling back child support, what their options are and how they can help their situation.
Of course, and rather than talk about how sick our society is for thinking this is good entertainment, I want to.
I just got to stop you right there.
Tell me about the entertainment factor in this, this show.
Well, clearly it is highly entertaining. You know reality TV is. It's got to be compelling or nobody's going to watch it. So, I mean, I literally will be watching an episode and they'll come back to me for a comment and I forget that I'm actually on television because I'm watching it because it's so entertaining. But, you know, and then I luckily have my co-host, Nicole Compton, who's a family court attorney, and she provides the insight as to what we just saw in court. So she's the one that helps guide us through what's happening. She breaks it down and she explains, you know, if you're going through this, what you can do right now. But yes, it is. It's very juicy. It's very
so
juicy.
So you're like
and
saying,
it's very
oh my
funny.
Gosh, I can't believe he did. And then Nicole.
Well, I'm just saying, how could somebody be $47,000 behind on child support and come into court and say, I didn't know I owe child support? I mean, they're like, dole. But
you're telling me there's a character. Maybe you can tell me about this guy, Baby Maker. What's his story?
Oh, Baby Maker. Actually, Baby Maker is a pretty cool dude. I mean, he's somebody that's actually paying child support. He just happens to have 12 children, which is why the judges and Jossie calls himself the Baby Maker. But, you know, he's somebody that is in a work release program that's paying his child support. So he literally is a success story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's talk about that topic for just a second. Aside from the, you know, how cool the TV show is or not cool, depending on your point of view. This is real life. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a very serious issue for a lot of folks, either side. I think your show, I hope, is going to present both sides of these cases, right?
It absolutely presents both sides. And you know what? You would think that some people would not want to be on camera, but they absolutely, both sides, want to tell their side of the story. And we allow them that opportunity. We don't discriminate. We take what's in court and we replay it as is. So we edit it. So that it represents everybody fairly. It's very tastefully done. And, I feel like it's somewhat of a public service. According to the judges, it helps them shame, quote, the deadbeats. This is according to Judge Sean Delahanty, into being a better person because it's the child's right to receive child support.
Right, right. Yeah, and I saw the sample reel that you produced on that, and that particular judge was admonishing this young man. He was pretty tough. He basically said, "I'll see you back here in jail if you don't."
Yes, J-A-I-L, as he likes to say, J-A-I-L, and we got plenty of it.
Yeah, there's no shortage of jail, I guess, for those people. So, are there any, like, I don't know how many episodes you've
I've shot
yet.
Five.
Shot five.
I think I'm supposed to shoot 21.
Okay,
but I'm on episode five right now.
Is there's like once a week, or how often is it here?
Well, they're in court twice a week. B&B Productions shooting it from sunup to sundown till when court begins to ends, and then we have a court reporter there, and then we also have Nicole there who sits off to the side and takes copious notes, and then talks with the judges afterwards to understand fully the case. So we're not just skimming the surface; we're presenting a good view of what actually just happened, even though we have to break it down for TV.
And I'm sure people get emotional. I mean, we're not going Maury Povich on anybody here, right? There's not any violence, I guess.
Well, it's not. Yeah, people have asked me that. It's not like Judge Judy because nobody's being paid in court. You know, the judges aren't being paid to be on the show. They're just doing their job. So, okay. You know, that's the difference.
And convincing the people involved in the show to get to be on, do they?
There's none of that. I mean, it's public record. You could sit in court with your camera and capture the same thing that we are. It's just that they've endorsed the show and they're happy that we're there. And that's why they give us some extra time when the cases are finished to explain what happened.
Wow. Wow. Well, it sounds like it's a fun show, and hopefully members of our audience will tune in on WBNA, which is, you know, a very small station, but certainly it's a bold move for a station like that to come out and do a local.
But they're all about homegrown TV and local programming, and they're thrilled. I really think that Louisville is going to like it. The one thing that I'm surprised about: one, there are just as many women as there are men that owe back child support.
Oh, really?
Yes. And two, I have learned a great deal while doing the show that I thought I was Miss former TV news reporter that understood the system, and that is not the case. Yeah. I am understanding what a problem it is and that there are programs to help people.
It's a
and
tough place,
by the
it?
Way, the people that are in there, they come from every zip code, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Okay.
I do know what you mean. I've walked around the courthouse down there for various and different reasons, mostly as a reporter. So I know what you're talking about. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the show. It really sounds like a well done. The same people that did The Secret is the Louisville Chef show and all those is the producer. So good luck with that.
Thank you.
Really hope it turns out well. So anyway, blink your eye and 12 minutes go by. And, you know, here we are. You're the 100th. Person I've had sitting across from me doing one of these interviews. It's just been a great privilege for me to talk to all these different people. Carolyn, as we sign off here, tell me about what else you're doing this summer.
What I'm doing this summer is loving on my children, loving going to the pool, putting that sunscreen on. As we hit that 40, you're like, gotta protect the skin, yo. But I do a lot of traveling. I'm off to Austin, Texas tomorrow morning for a work a situation. And I don't know. I'm loving being a wife and a mother, and I'm totally embracing my 40s. I think that I'm more comfortable in my skin than I've ever been. I've never been not comfortable, but definitely.
Oh, wait till you hit 50, girl.
Really?
Oh.
What happens? What happens at 50? Tell me, Rick.
Well, in my view, you know, up until 40, I could eat whatever I wanted and not even worry about weight and anything, because all I would do is play extra racquetball to work it off. Now in your 50s, shit starts falling apart.
Really? Like what? Like knees?
Like knees,
what happens?
And ankles.
Tell me.
And elbows.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
The stuff you used to do and not even think about it. It's hard to do. But you know, fortunately, you get smarter as you get older. So
yes,
that's something to look forward to.
Are you also more comfortable in your skin?
Yeah, very much so, I think. I think. You know, a lot of good things have happened to me in the last year, including the Rusty Satellite Show. So that's a great way to conclude this interview. And we will thanks again to Carolyn for being the 100th guest
thanks
on the Rusty
me.
Satellite Show. And we'll be back right after this.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, Carolyn, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun on a afternoon to come in and have a few bottles of wine while I did the show. We're not up there with the beer guys who are also featured on the Louisville.am podcast. I know they're in here because the keyboard is sticky all the time. And so anyway, I got a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Speaking of beer and speaking of Indiana, my guest Angie Fenton is in the studio today, and she has recently moved to Indiana And I guess you've discovered the warm beer law over there, right?
I certainly have. By the way, the beer guys, I'm a little salty. I've never been invited to be on their show because I hear all they do is come in here, talk about beer, drink beer.
Spill beer on the keyboard. Yeah.
No, I don't get it. I'll be honest. I don't understand it. So, I mean, you explain it. We'll try to figure it out.
For people that don't know, there was a court decision in Indiana this week upholding, you know, Kentucky's got the goofiest alcohol laws in the world, I thought. But over in Indiana, they upheld this law that says that convenience stores and grocery stores can sell beer just like the liquor stores, but the convenience stores and grocery stores can't put it in a cooler. They could sell ice and they can sell beer, but they can't sell the two together. Some sort of twisted logic involving the fact that I guess they don't want you drinking the beer as soon as you walk out of the store. They want you to have to take it home, have the period of time it takes to get cold on ice before you can drink that. What an advantage to the liquor stores who can sell it cold.
Isn't that ironic that you buy at a convenience store and then you're inconvenienced by having to go home? But I don't understand that. I don't understand the rationale for that. I mean, I heard something about in liquor stores, they have a different type of license, and in convenience stores and grocery stores, they have a clientele that all manners of ages. But let's be honest, if a kid is able to buy alcohol from whatever place, I don't think he or she is such a connoisseur that they're like, oh, I've got to have my craft beer iced at this temperature.
It's funny. I laugh at the laws, but they're really frustrating and, mm-hmm. and stupid. And they're anti-business, I think. You know, in Kentucky, we have this ongoing battle to try to get alcohol sold at grocery stores. And right. It's led to the creation of Kroger and Meijer having these little separate stores. It's sort of a joke, but it's to get around the law. And in Indiana, I think they're just trying to protect the liquor stores so that they, that they have something that you can't get at the convenience store. It doesn't make any sense, like most alcohol laws in this area, both Kentucky and Indiana. So anyway, I just noticed that in the news this week, and it's one of my favorite topics. So
Just a real quick thing. I mean, anyone who frequents, I mean, you go to your favorite liquor store, you're not going to find a great liquor store has things no one else has. So you're going to go there. That's your destination point, as opposed to just, picking something up at Walgreens.
Right. Right. It's all about, I think, protecting the business interest of these mm-hmm. businesses. And I don't understand. It's all about lobbying and politics and things that, those complicated things lead to very simple, stupid things like this warm beer law in Indiana. So, just warning you, Angie, if you go over and need a cold one,
Don't go
to the convenience store.
Great.
So, anyway, the other topic I want to bring up in this segment, Angie, is about one that we've talked about before, and the idea of race has reared its mm-hmm. ugly head in local politics, and I'm sure you would agree that no matter what happens in our society, race is always going to be a sometimes polarizing
sure.
factor. So you know about this story, Metro Councilman Dan Johnson. I just have to say about Dan Johnson, he's from the South End, where his district is where I grew up, near Iroquois Manor. And Dan, now that Doug Hawkins is no longer in the Metro Council, I think he's the looniest one of those guys. Dan has come up with a plan. He's got himself in another controversy because he is trying to hire a guy as his legislative assistant who was fired from his previous job for using the N-word, and this was at a charitable organization in which people come to get benefits, and so this guy Brian Matthews is an elected official. He's a county judge executive, which is a powerless, payless title, and I guess Johnson is trying to get him hired. Another councilman who's an African American, a former Rusty Satellite guest, David James, has mentioned or said to the media in a news story. This is all on WFPL with Philip Bailey, is doing all the reporting on this. That he doesn't really think that a guy who was fired from a job for using the N-word should be a legislative aide to a Metro councilman. I don't know how you feel about that, Angie.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of convoluted. Philip Bailey, though, has done a fantastic job of trying to make sense out of what is this cluster mess. I think it needs to be said, if you are following the story, though, the use of the N-word, according to his employers and former colleagues, wasn't just a one-time incident. So, right.
And the crazy thing is, this Matthews guy, who I've never met, he's flat out denying it, even though there's like five or six people who flat out say that they were in the room when...
And it happened multiple times.
Yeah, and he uses this term ghetto for a lot of things, apparently. Apparently he was, you know, this is his regular, the regular way he treated people over there, according to the story. Now, I'm not making these claims myself. I wasn't there. I don't know. But according to the story and the sources that Philip Bailey had, that's what happened. So now this is like a $50,000 job as a legislative aide. Johnson has already, his previous legislative aide retired last year. He had somebody in there, and he basically let her go in order to make room for this guy Matthews, who you know, I was doing some background research and found out Matthews was with Johnson on some of the work he's been doing. Johnson's made a name for himself trying to get the NBA to come here, and it just looks like a good buddy thing. And the latest thing that happened, the last story, is that Johnson asked for a legal opinion from, I believe, the county attorney's office. And when the radio station asked for the document to see what it was, Johnson said, "Hell no, I'm not giving it to you," and hung up on him on the phone. So,
what does that say? I mean, that if you were given an opinion, and yes, that's, I mean, his right to keep it, but if you're given an opinion and they say no, you're completely in the right, in the clear, wouldn't you want to show that to the public and then move on?
Yeah, I mean, it smacks of hiding something. Obviously, it looks like if Johnson is not hiding something, then he's just using bad tactics
and being difficult for no reason whatsoever.
Exactly. And if you know him, you might understand why that's happening with him. So that's the story we're going to be following. I sort of wish I was covering. I used to write a lot about the Metro Council you know, miss Doug Hawkins and all those guys. But we've had a couple of Metro Council people on the show as guests on the Rusty Satellite Show, including David James and Jerry Miller, and hope to have some more in the very near future. So we'll see how that goes. So one other thing I want to talk about was sort of fun. We've got a fun theme this time, Angie. And last night I got a chance to go see Elvis Costello at the Palace, which was it was great. Any concert at the Palace, you know, it's just the perfect venue and all that. I do want to say something about fan behavior at concerts. Our seats were in row V, and that's about probably two thirds of the way back on the floor. They were pretty good seats, but the behavior of some of the people around us. There was this guy and looked like his wife and looked like his son came and sat directly in front of us in their seats after the show started, and this guy just couldn't stop talking, and there were people to my right, people to my left, going shh 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 and all that, and this guy was just really obnoxious. His wife was sitting there. She picked up her phone and turned it on and started, you see the glare from the phone. They didn't make the usual announcements about not using your phone in the show and all that. So, I mean, these people were oblivious to anyone around them. So, my summary of that is, be aware and, be a good concert goer and cheer for the artist and pay attention and don't be obnoxious to the people around you. But other than that,
shaking my head over that, because that's different. If you're out in the middle of a field and it's some kind of music festival and people are, moving and talking, have at it.
Because this is a one man show. It's amazing. 2.5 hours
it's a guy.
It's
a performance.
And it is a performance. And Elvis, he deserved the respect of the audience. He was very, very warm and welcoming to Louisville and the artists. And it was a spectacular thing because actually, the first part of the show dragged on a little bit. It was a little bit slow, so we got up and I sort of changed seats. I got a better seat, and I moved down on the front in the right, and I got like on the second row, believe it or not. And I had some great pictures, which I'll post on the RustySatelliteShow.com site. But Elvis brought in former Rusty Satellite guest Bridget Kalin onto the stage.
Awesome! Love her.
It was really cool, and so he played a like two or three songs with her, and then she left, and he came back, and then he played with Jim James of My Morning Jacket came on the stage, and they played a couple of really great tune, and then they brought Bridget back, and Bridget played her little Saw. Have you ever seen her play the Saw?
Oh yes, it's amazing.
It's really wild. So you see this woman walking on stage with a saw in her hand at a concert.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. The sound is something.
It's almost haunting, but beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So Elvis, I got to give him credit. 2.5 hours, and he finished with my favorite Elvis Costello song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding, and just knocked the socks off the people that were paying attention and all that. So,
well, I just had to tell you, Rick, I do not see enough live music, but I've seen Kenny Rogers in the Palace twice, both times by myself, because he is my absolute favorite, the only celebrity I've ever actually shed tears after interviewing, and felt very, very dumb, but I couldn't help it because he's the soundtrack of my youth.
Yeah, and Kenny Rogers, wow, the gambler.
You could quiz me on every song, and if I could sing, I'd sing them to you. But I'll tell you, if that guy and his wife would have been at the concert when I was there, I mean, I usually operate pretty PC and try to be nice and treat people with kindness. But it's Kenny Rogers; you don't mess with that.
Yeah, and you don't want to be the guy that's the big jerk. Being the jerks,
right?
The other thing is, you got people that are, you never know where to stand up or sit down, and people stand up and people say, sit down, and all that. I didn't have a lot of that at the Elvis show last night, but these guys, they deserve the scorn that they got. And but all in all, just a tremendous night, an example of the great things we have here in Louisville, Kentucky. And we're going to talk about some more of that stuff when we come back with Angie. And we're going to talk about the 100 guests that we've had here on the Rusty Satellite Show, of which Angie is one of them. And we'll be right back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Alec Voles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
All right, and we're back here at the Rusty Satellite Show, and our final segment of show number 52 is with Angie Fenton. Really appreciate having Angie in the guest. First, I want to tell you a little bit about, as you heard last week, I am buying a house, and it's a very exciting time in my life, and it's a very exciting thing. There's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot going on with buying a house. There's a lot of aspects to it. And I am using Bob Sokoler of Remax Properties East. He's a former Rusty Satellite guest. And I got an email from Bob this week. It was very interesting. When he was on the show, we talked about his use of drones in marketing his home. So there was a little video about how he's using his drone, and you ought to see it online. It's certainly on his site. It's WeSellLouisville.com. And Bob demonstrates how you can see certain things on videos using the drone, like the condition of the roof, a panoramic shot of a certain property and all that. And it's just one of the little technological extras that that Bob brings to the table when you use him and his company for a real estate transaction. So anyway, I encourage you to look Bob up. He's Bob Sokoler at Remax Properties East. And I'll keep you posted about how we're doing on the show. On the house purchase, I'm basically now in the wait to set a date for closing period, which should be in early to mid July, I hope. So, all right, Angie,
Well, congrats on that for sure.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
And
yeah.
I'm trying to sell, so.
Well,
I'm gonna miss living over in Irish Hill, but I really love living in New Albany.
I know. So let's talk a little bit about that. So when we were on the show last, we talked about our love lives and how we were both kind of like not there yet. We hadn't found the right person or whatever. You found the right person. Tell me about that.
I did. It's funny. The last time I was on your show, I had just recently been let go suddenly by the Voice Tribune for what was allegedly budgetary reasons. Doesn't really matter. Tough time, like anyone who's ever been fired without reason, you know.
Yeah.
It was going through a bit of a tough time, but trying to keep my head up and stuff, and still working for WHS 11, which, by the way, WHS 11's Great Day Live is celebrating our third year in August, so we're excited.
Yes, that's
but
very good news.
I bring that up because after you and I spoke, and then it'd been a little while, and I just kind of, at that point, really kind of resigned myself, not in a lonely, sad way, but I'm single, and I think maybe that's like my purpose in life is dogs and connecting with people and the community, but I don't know.
Oh, the way things change.
You know? So now I was a Monday morning and my sales remote was at a paint store in Southern Indiana, and I usually approach all of our remotes on Great Day Live with positivity, but I was like, seriously, you're sending me to a paint store on a Monday? Like, our poor viewers. Well, we get there, the photographer Phil Dunaway and I, and the guy's got a full spread. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. It's historic. And anyway, long story short, he's got all these like history. There's a brothel upstairs, and I make him tell the history and stuff. And he was a great guy. And I remember just leaving going, what a great guy. Didn't think about him. A week later, he called. We went out. He wanted to take me to dinner. I said, how about brunch, knowing I could be out in 45 minutes? Well, 5 hours later at Garage Bar, we've been together ever since, and we will be married on October 4th.
Wow, what a great story. All right. And we certainly want to invite all Rusty Satellite listeners to attend the wedding.
Right? It's going to be a party. We're gonna. I look forward to having you there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you got to be special to get on the guest list, I guess. But I'm sure it's going to be a great affair. And you're so active in social media. People are going to be hearing about it if they follow you at all. So congratulations to you on that. And
thank you.
It's a big, it really changes your outlook having somebody.
It does,
in your life
and
like
it
that.
Was so easy. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it just oh. There you are. And it's funny, though, the most, like, he's into color and stuff since he co-owns two different paint stores, Southern Indiana Paint Supply. And honestly, I mean, I'm not kidding, Rick. I could care less what the colors look like. I could care less what the flowers are. I'm just like, just make it look pretty. I just want to dance and have the dogs. And so I'm excited that my big dog, Zeke, who's a 90-pounder from the Aero Fund, who uses a wheelchair, he's walking me down the aisle or rolling down the aisle with
cool.
me. So that's all I care about.
And to think we wasted all that time on dating sites and
right?
online dating and
I
all
know,
that, and it was right there.
Those are great stories, though, that you'll have for the rest of your life.
All right. Well, that's fun. So you're continuing to do that, planning a wedding and all that. And, you know, you were, along with my best pal, Mark Hebert, one of only two people in a year to appear on this show twice.
I feel honored.
Yeah, well.
For two reasons. One, because it's your show and you've done a tremendous thing. I mean, 100 people, but also because I'm in good company if I'm in anywhere proximity-wise near Mark Hebert. So,
well, you know.
Appreciate it.
Well, you might think twice about that. But, you know, I published a list of the 100 people on LouisvilleKY.com last week. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of reaction to that. Actually, that was a list of 99 because Carolyn was guest 100. And some interesting stuff about that. You know, for one thing, I found out that these were all randomly selected by me, but there's 27 women.
Yes.
So I'm trying to represent a little bit the women, but I really don't have any other stats. It's really random.
And I love just the hodgepodge of people. I mean, from all walks of life, all varieties. I mean, I'm impressed. I'm just sitting here looking at just, I mean, some of them, and it's stunning. I mean, there's John Yarmuth, and then there's Chip Heiser, and I mean, it's just, if you go through the list, it's really, really amazing. How in the world, every week when I listen, I just always ask myself, how in the world are you getting them to talk to you?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the question. I don't really know, except that, you know, I've just asked. you know, and most people, you know, and it's a lot easier as the show's gotten older and more people have heard of it and the number of downloads has gone up and more people are listening and you get more sponsors. And, it, you know, it's sort of like an avalanche or a steamroller thing. It gets bigger as it goes on. And you know, when you and I did this show, you were like the fifth or sixth one. It was like, you know, nobody's heard of this thing. And we're probably, you know, we can say anything we want because nobody's listening.
Right.
Right. But now I think there are people listening. When I call somebody like, you know, for example, I'm trying to get something set up right now with the new GLI president, Kent Euler, to be on in a week or two. You know, people actually act like they know what it's about. So,
well, kudos to you for that. I mean, I think that's a great testament. But tell me, I've got to ask you, I mean, since I am a reporter like yourself, tell me, who was the most difficult guest out of all 100?
Oh, well, I don't know that. I'll answer that question two ways. I'll tell you the most difficult to get on the show, mm-hmm. and was a great interview once I got him, was Ed Hart. And I have a long relationship with Ed Hart, and he's doing something really important with Kentucky Kingdom. But actually, you know, he's very choosy about what media he does, and even promoting Kentucky Kingdom and doing all that. You know, I started asking him to do the show, you know, months before he finally agreed to have me up to his office and do the show. So that's one that I really remember, I guess. And I took a great picture of Ed in his office. One of the things about the show that evolved from in the beginning, I was doing all the shows. I was getting people to come to the studio and talk to me here in the studio where we are today. But as I learned the technology a little bit, I discovered that the interviews were more effective if I went to their place.
Right.
And that's resulted, if you go on the website, some great photographs, mm-hmm. of these people in their environment. And I think that's really made the show, you know, a lot more effective.
So then the second way to answer that question, who's your most difficult guest?
Difficult. You know, I've kind of avoided, you know, the people. I'll tell you a story, because this is what it's all about, really. This is what this whole venue is about. It's about telling stories. I just last week, you know, I had the library director, Craig Butode, on, and he's a great guy. And I was just surprised, I guess, because when I went in there, I had forgotten that several years ago, probably on my blogs, I had written some things about the library that probably weren't perceived as negative, and probably negative towards Craig. And I'd really completely forgotten about that. And I remember when I was talking to Craig about something, he says, yeah, I used to write stuff. He said, oh yeah, I know what you used to write. Oh yeah. It wasn't all that great. So the good side of that story is, I hope that by having him on the show, it helped me to mend whatever fence was there, whatever idea that I had left behind that was negative about something that I'd written a few years ago. And you know, that's the real joy of it. You know, that actually getting to sit across the table from some of these people and talk to them about their lives and what's going on with them. That's what's make this fun.
Who is the guest that you just want and either haven't been able to get to or haven't been able to convince, like it took you forever with Ed Hart?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. There are some big names out there that, mm-hmm. I'd like to have on the show. You know, and I have some history, like with John Schnatter, Papa John's. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even reached out to try to get John on the show. But, John, if you're listening, I'd like to have you on the show. You know, those are the – John, he's an example of somebody that's really doing something, really accomplished something in this city. And that's what the show's all about, the people of this city who are making things happen. And, yeah, I'd like to get him on. I've had very few. I don't want to point out the people who have. I'll point out one guy who said no, because I asked twice, and both times I don't know if he's got something against me. But Bill Lamb of WDRB has turned me down a couple times. So maybe it was just logistics or whatever. But you know, I'll probably go back. And I've known Bill a long time too, and just hadn't worked out to get him on the show yet.
I would be listening for sure to that one. I mean, he's fascinating. One of my most favorite interviews that I've ever done for a print article. after reading his book, which I thought was really, I mean, anybody should read it, but I would love to hear the conversation between the two of you, because I think you both have incredible minds. I mean, whether you would agree or disagree with either of you on points of view, I think that would be a fascinating conversation.
Yeah, it would be fun. You know, he's very outspoken, and you know, he's involved in a little bit of controversy right now over the debate in the senatorial race. And I just saw a story this morning, I think, about him. He either didn't know that he was a registered Republican, or he was lying about it. I'm not sure. But I'd love to talk to him about that and other issues in TV, because what he's done in at WDRB is really phenomenal.
It is groundbreaking what he's done. I mean, I regardless of, again, I mean, and that's one of the things I love about his point of view. And he had said this before in an interview. It's his point of view, but he's hoping to elicit your point of view. He's not asking for you to agree with him. He wants that response and that interaction. But I mean, we should be studying what he's done at that TV station.
Sure.
Because it's not just a TV station now. I mean, it's a news organization.
Right, right. And I'm, you know, speaking of Bill and other media people, you know, you just made me think of, I saw an interview on Louisville Public Media this week with Neil Budde at the Courier-Journal. Now, I was able to get Neil on the show a month or so into his tenure there. Then last week, he had to get rid of all those people. Yeah. And, you know, he's somebody, you know, it'd be interesting to get back on the show again, just see how he's doing over there.
Especially because from the reports, that was not a decision. From what I want to say, I read it on the Poynter Institute's website. It was not a corporate decision, but it was locally made, and they're reconfiguring how does the newsroom, how should it look now as we evolve with technology and all of this different things that are making it just how we consume our information different. But I'll tell you, I met him only once, and in that very short amount of time, I was kind of blown away with just his...
He's very sharp. Yeah,
oh, his exactly. progressive thinking. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I absolutely hate, though, that Gene Porter and Mike Troutman in particular, because I worked with them and knew them at the Courier Journal. I mean, I'm sorry to see them lose their jobs.
That, you know, you hate to see anybody lose their
absolutely.
Jobs. But from a reporter's point of view, what I read between the lines of that story is they're going to try to give more autonomy to reporters,
right?
And less editing. And you know, as you know, from my days and as a reporter, you may have some stories too. Sometimes the editors are more of a hindrance than a help.
I won't say his name because he still lives in this town. But I had one editor who used to take in very, very, very beginning stages of my career, who used to take my stories and then he would turn them into his. And I almost said his name. I'll never forget that.
There's no editing here, Angie,
right?
You know.
Right. I don't want to embarrass anyone because I think hopefully he's grown and matured from that. But I mean, that was not only was that hurtful personally to have spent that time, and it wasn't like fact checking or any of that stuff that was incorrect, but turning my words so they sound like you, it was probably the best and hardest lesson that I've learned in journalism. And I vowed I would never do that to someone. And as soon as I was out from under him, I wasn't going to do that anymore.
Right. Well,
or allow that.
You know, it's personal. And writing is personal.
And extremely.
The things that really got to me in the in the days when I was doing regular stories for editors, you know, they would change certain words that I put in for a certain, and it stays with you. I'm embarrassed to say that 15 years later, I can still tell you, you know, four or five instances where I lost battles with editors that they were wrong and I was right. And, you know, that's the way it was. But
you live from it. Just really quickly, I'll never forget when I was the Buzz columnist and features writer for the Courier Journal, and I always had a quote of the day, and I have 2 degrees, a bachelor's and a master's in English, and I use the wrong form of the word your. And I am not kidding you. I fielded over 35 phone calls because I was responsible for basically just ruining the youth and America. And I started taking, it was before like all the technology that we have
but at least the numbers would show up and I would start taking down the numbers because they wouldn't be left on my voicemail. I called every single one of those people back and made friends, you know, of some sort with each one of them, because I would be like, I am so sorry. I am just so sorry. I mean, out of all the thousands and thousands of words, it was that one. And how many editors did it go through, though? I think I counted something like seven.
Oh, my.
But who got slammed?
The just, one with the name on it.
That's I'll never screw that one up again.
Well, it's good. And it's a good way maybe to wrap this up is to talk really about people in the media like yourself and myself. You know, we really do. We want that feedback, and a lot of times it's opening a door, and it's the way to get the next story is by talking to somebody who has either a problem with it. Oh, you got a problem with the story? Okay, tell me your story, and maybe I'll write it. There's a lot of good that comes from basically communicating. You know, if you see something in the media, and you don't. That's why they put the phone numbers for all the Courier Journal reporters right there in the paper and online, because they want you to call and they want you to talk to that reporter, and it might turn into the next story. So,
and it's even if it's a negative contact, I've always said at least somebody cares enough to tell you what an awful job you did, because that means that they've invested.
They're reading
exactly or watching or whatever. Real quickly, though, Rick, since I mean, that's a great accomplishment. 52 weeks, 100 guests. Now you've got to do it again. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I think your 200th guest, because you had people, at least on Facebook and things, try to throw out who should be your 100th. Well, I think for your 200th, I absolutely think you should have somebody interview you.
Oh, okay. Well, you're doing it right now.
All the questions.
I've let you come on here, Angie, and I squirmed a little more the first time, but because it was about my love life.
Well, speaking of that, because I answered about mine, so how is your love life?
My love life's great. You know, my girlfriend Paula is went with me to Elvis Costello last night. Aww. And if you're following all the stuff we do, we have a very active life. We're going on a vacation this weekend, and
how long have you been together?
Since last July. And we did not meet online. Like, you know, we talked about it. I met her at a networking event.
You met her face-to-face. Isn't that refreshing when that happens?
I walked in the door, and she was the first one I saw, and we didn't stop talking that night.
So going on 1 year.
Yeah. It'd be big stuff. So a lot of anniversaries, a lot of good things happening in both of our lives. Good luck on your wedding, Angie.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it. And we'll have you back here again on the Rusty Satellite Show as we surge into our second year. So that'll do it for this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show, number 52. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, Bob Zicoler, and also a big thank you to Dan Vonderhyde, who has faithfully and on time edited every one of these 52 podcasts of the Rusty Satellite Show. Check out all the other podcasts on Louisville.am, and you might hear something interesting. So anyway, that's it for the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. We'll be back again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.